son and daughters was just fantastic. Because what they were saying, they were just honouring their parents. They were honouring them, they were saying how much they loved them, how much they appreciate, and all this good stuff building them up. And I thought it such a brilliant change to some of the other rubbish I've heard at some weddings, where people are just going for cheap laughs and this sort of thing, trying to take the mick out of someone. But this was just different. And I think, wow, this is what it should be like. We build one another up. We encourage one another. We recognise the difference you have made in my life. The help, the support and all that. So I just thought it was great. Okay, shut up, John. Let's get on with this morning. is there a clicker?
Yes.
All right, that's handy. I can, yeah. Oh, good, we got the first picture up. It gives you a clue what we're going to talk about this morning. I've been asked to speak about a lamp on a stand. I'll be honest with you, I'm most happy speaking from a scripture, but to be given a subject, I sometimes struggle with. So we'll just see how we get on this morning. So, lamp on a stand, and in Matthew chapter 5, we read this, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world, this is what Jesus says. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, we wouldn't disagree with that. Think, okay, well, maybe, we'll just see. Because when I saw this scripture, I then thought, well, there's another scripture where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But hang on, we've just read in Matthew 5 that we are the light of the world. How can this be? Now, I'm going to say this. Jesus says he's the light of the world, and he is. For those of us who know Jesus Christ, who love Jesus Christ, who ask Jesus to come into our lives, because Jesus is in us, the light of Jesus Christ, that's what Jesus is saying, his light within us shining out. All right? So that's what we've got. It's not anything about me, it's not anything about you, it's about the love and the presence and the power of Jesus within us shining out. So then, this is what I'm going to say. If Jesus says you're the light of the world, you think, well, I can see that in someone else, not me. Rubbish, you are the light of the world, because that's what Jesus says. Now, I do meet a number of people who say, look, I do want to evangelise, I do want to tell others about Jesus, but you know what? I just find it a bit hard. And I'm going to say, this isn't exhaustive, but here's some, just a few of the reasons why we don't do that. It might be, I don't know what to say. I want to be a light of a world, but I don't know what to say. Or how do I start a conversation? Or, well, I'm a bit worried in case someone asks me a difficult question. I may not be able to answer it. Or, quite legitimately, I don't want to look a fool. I can understand all this. Or, I don't want to offend anyone. These are genuine, genuine fears, genuine reasons. Or fear of rejection by my family. Fear of rejection by my friends, by my neighbours. Just this fear of rejection. These are genuine feelings and fears. I do understand that. But in a nutshell, what we're saying is, I can't do that because I lack this, that and the other. So what we're really lacking, actually, is faith. Faith that says, God, I just can't but I know that you can. So, what is faith? Well, in Hebrews and chapter 11, verse 1, it says this, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I would say that faith is born out of unbelief. That will never happen. I just cannot do it. And also, faith is a foundation. That just so happens I live on a building site. Well, not quite. We've moved into a new house, and all around us, the rest of the estate is being built, just over the way there. So, it's great to watch these builders. It really is. So I'm going to say, faith is a foundation. I've seen them digging foundations with these great big machines, and sometimes little foundations with a shovel. But the same basic principles happen. All right, a foundation needs to be dug. Dig this trench. And what they're digging out is anything which is unstable, sandy, boggy, sinking soil, or whatever else. Now, for us, what we need to get rid of and dig out is this fear. Fear of me, fear of others, fear of failure. And that's a big one. We dig this out. Now, whenever you dig something out, you're left with a void. There's a hole. There's a nothing there. Well, there is right down the bottom. Now then, when the builders dig, they dig all the unstable stuff out. Often as Christians, we leave a bit of the unstable stuff still there. We'll have some faith, but there's still a bit of fear there. Yeah? So I'm saying, let's dig that out, leave this void. Now, that void needs to be filled with something. And what we ask for is that God fill that void with faith. Faith in the power and presence of his Holy Spirit. Faith and what we see in the here and now are always in conflict with each other. There's a tension between them. In 2 Corinthians and chapter 5 verse 7 we read, we live by faith and not by sight. Now we can say that, but there's always some buts there, aren't there? I'll do that as long as everything's going right, I can say that. But when things start going wrong, I'm not quite certain now. But the Word of God doesn't change. If you want to read about faith, there's a whole chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, is just a wonderful, magnificent picture of what faith is about. And it's full of individuals who were just ordinary people who did extraordinary things because they had faith in God and faith in what God said about them and what he would do through them. Read it. They were just ordinary people. Moses started off as looking after sheep. Well, not quite. He started off, but you know what I mean. Right? It's just ordinary people. Okay. I'm going to say... Oh, right. Okay. Move on. Believing comes before seeing. Right? Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27, we read this. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses believed that the encounter at the burning bush was God. He believed that. He believed he'd heard God. He believed that God spoke to him. He believed that God had appointed him for a task. First he believes, and then he sees God in action on numerous occasions, doing wonderful things. And I don't know about you, but I do feel that faith is to me, it's like a step of obedience and a step of faith. God says do this, just a little step, and we do it and think, oh, that works, I can do a bit more now. And that's what happens. All right, I can pray for someone for this to be healed. I might not be able to lay hands on them or anoint them with or whatever. I'll just pray quietly in my own room, and that, I think, all right, I can now step out a bit further. It's great, and that's what happens. Okay, so believing comes before seeing, and I'd say seeing the unseen. And in Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says this: for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. You can look outside, you can look at the rain, you can look at the trees blowing in the breeze, and you can just enjoy this wonderful creation. It's a reminder to us there is a God. There is a God. All right, we're seeing what is unseen. We're seeing God in action, God at work, God around us. And our conflict with faith is highlighted between these material and spiritual tensions. Faith also is often needed in prayer. So prayer of faith is often needed. Jesus speaking in Mark chapter 11 verse 24, he says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you received it and it will be yours. Yeah, sometimes the prayer of faith is sometimes needed. Okay, I'm just going to make a few more other comments on faith. In Mark chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus rebukes the disciples for their lack of faith. And he goes on and says, and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had died. And some of us, there's this stubbornness within us. I can believe so much, I can't believe that. I can believe God can do this in my life, he'll never do that. He'll change this. It's never happened so far. I'm still got these things within me. No, God will do it. Let's not be stubborn. Let's not have a lack of faith. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus speaks about faith as small as a mustard seed. Just a tiniest little bit. Come on, make a start. There's something there. There's some glimmer of it. There's some tiny little bit there. Let's just gird that into action. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, anyone who has faith in me will do even greater things. Now I think, come on. Now, John, this is taking some believing. How can I do greater things than Jesus? Because Jesus said you can. And Jesus said you will. Yeah. That's why. That's why. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11. You've got to read that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. James chapter 5. You want to know about praying for the sick? Have a word with Slava. Go with him. Just sit alongside him. When Slava's praying, this guy has such a love of God and a love for people. He has such a desire to see the sick healed. All right? If you never pray for the sick, have a word with him. Say, can I come out with you? Or can I just sit by you? Get alongside some of these men and women of faith. Just let it brush onto you a bit. I need some of that. That's why I come here. Okay. Now then, I'm not talking about positive thinking. People sometimes say to me, oh, you're a very positive person. I'm not positive. I'm no different to anyone else. I have faith in God, and I know who I am in Jesus Christ. That's what made the difference. Because years ago, I was a nervous wreck. I could not even stand up in class and answer the teacher. I just froze. God has changed me. God can change you. God can do it for me. He can do it for anyone. That's what I say. Okay. So, So I'm not talking about positive thinking or having a positive attitude somehow with a thread of hope somehow loosely attached. Sometimes you think, well, I can believe this bit, but I don't know about the rest. In Mark chapter 9, forget that for a minute, it speaks about this man who has this boy who has these dreadful fits. And he goes to Jesus and says, look, if you can, I believe you could make my son well. And Jesus says, well, what do you mean, if I can? He said, well, I can believe you can do it. And Jesus goes on and heals a boy. And Jesus challenges him. And he says, look, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And that's sometimes where we're at. Don't beat yourself up. All right? I can believe so much, but, oh, God, help me where I do lack that faith. Help me in my unbelief. Help me trust you more. Help me, and God will. You ask, and God will move. So I'm going to say, first of all, believe and know who you are in Jesus Christ. You're special. You're set apart. God chose you. You didn't just happen to be. God chose you. Yeah? And God says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you on your own. I'm going to be with you always. And God promises, I will never leave you. You can rely on it. Whether you feel it or don't makes no difference to the promise of God. He is there, right in the midst of all that's going on. Okay. Believe God wants to use you, and believe that God will use you. God wants you to use you. He wants to pour out all his gifts on you and in you and around you. Why? Because he loves you. He says, hey, come on, let's have a bit of fun here. Yeah? Let's go and heal the sick. Yeah? Let's go and pray a difference over these people here. Go into some dreadful situation. Come and make a difference. Why? Because you're there. You and God. Yeah? Believe the Holy Spirit will empower you. Even in the mundane activities. And I mean that. We don't have to have some special ministry. Even in the mundane. I can remember some while ago, Jill and I lived in a different house. And nearby there was an older couple. He was disabled. And his wife was rather frail. And we just felt we should just try and offer some help. Just practical help. They had a little bungalow, tiny bit of garden, and it just looked a bit overgrown. So just knock on the door and just say, can I help you just tidy up? Over time, we go indoors and we take them in the car to do their shopping. So they go around the shop and they would just carry it, put it into the boot, carry it from the boot, take it indoors. Then we're doing other bits and pieces. I end up doing decorates, just odd jobs. I'm just an odd job man, all right? Just helping out a couple who were struggling. And there came a while, and I said to Jill, I said, you know what, I just keep doing this stuff, and I want to witness for Jesus, and I feel I've been speaking, just dropping a word here and there, you know what, it's made no difference. 9 years I did this for, and I'm about to give up, because I'm rubbish, see? And Jules challenged me and says, I feel you should carry on. And I did. And you know what? All of a sudden, this couple come to faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know what I said. I can't remember. Probably nothing to do with me anyway. I can't make anyone come to Christ. Neither can you. But God can. And God uses us. So believe the Holy Spirit. Believe God will use you even in the mundane. There's another time. He's saying that, oh, I prayed for people and nothing's happened. I understand that. My mum was a Christian. My dad wasn't for many, many years. I wasn't abused by him. He was a great dad. He just wasn't a Christian. He ensured we went to church, even if he didn't go. Her heart, but it was great. And my mum prayed for him for nearly 40 years. 40 years. Don't you dare give up praying. Don't you dare. All right, don't give up. Keep on. He goes to church one day. This is at Bracknell Baptist Church with Kerry Centre, Ben Davis preaching. And afterwards, my dad gets up and gives his life to Christ. I said, you speak with Ben afterwards. He says, you know what? That's the worst sermon I've ever preached in all my life. He said it was rubbish. He said, you could have knocked me over with a feather when this guy stands up and wants to make a... I said, wow. So, even when you think things aren't going right, not your judgment. God will use you in the mundane. God will use you even when you get it wrong. God will use you when you feel you're rubbish. God will use you. God wants to. Okay. Right, let's get back on track, John. So, be a lamp on a stand. So you say, how? I'm going to say just some basic stuff here. It's all basic what I say. Speech, right. Make sure it's honest. It's reliable. No gossip comes from you. All right? Put a stop to it now. No swearing. No unwholesome talk. Be a lamp by your speech, by what you say. They were a lamp, those children yesterday, honouring their parents, not saying what they'd got wrong, what they'd done wrong, trying to find a cheap joke, honouring them, supporting them, showing dignity, respect. Let's be a lamp by your speech. People, many of you, you'll be in places and people will often apologise when they start swearing in your presence. You'll know that. You think, yeah, that happens to me. Right. Why? Because you're a lamp even by your speech. Right. So it's not hard to be a lamp, is it? Be a lamp in your behaviour, at work. Be on time. Be diligent in your work, whatever work you've got. It doesn't matter. I've worked in a warehouse moving boxes and I've worked in places managing, but it doesn't matter what you do, you be a lamp at your work and you do it well. Be a lamp at home. Now this is a brilliant one. You know what? Because the real you is you when you're at home. I know. I'm no different. Okay. So let's be a lamp at home. Be a lamp amongst your neighbours. Yeah. Now we've already had a thing about praying for our neighbours. I'll come on to that towards the end. But let's be a lamp amongst our neighbours. Be friendly. Be approachable. Offer help. Another house we was living at, people knew we were Christians. I mean, the car used to move every Sunday morning at the same time, so it's quite obvious. And, you know, it's not hard to, is it? Is it? You don't knock on the door and say, oh, I'm going to church, do you want to come with me? Well, you can do, but just be a lamp. And a lady knocked on the door from a few doors away, just used to say hello, and she said, will you come and pray for my husband? He's dying. I think probably in the next few hours. And he wants someone to pray for him and with him. Not an easy thing, but be a lamp. You don't know what you're going to be asked for. Be prepared for it. All right? Just offer love and hope wherever we can do. Be a lamp, even speaking to strangers. Let's pray in faith for individuals. Remember John 14 verse 12. Anyone who has faith in me will do even greater things. Yeah. Pray in faith. God, please come into this situation. I'm going to say pray for opportunities. Opportunities each day. Pray for opportunities when you go to special occasions. pray for opportunities for meeting strangers. There's one time, I'm one of seven children, four boys, three girls, that's four boys. We're all Christians together, brilliant times we've had in the past. And we went to this place at Chatham. I went with one of my brothers. Noel was speaking at a church, and I went along. He always used to take someone along with him, make sure he didn't get beaten up. No, it wasn't. But I went along there, and then we'd be ministering in the church, and then we're going back to the pastor's house for fish and chip supper. Lovely. So we're just walking back from the church to the manse, and I saw a guy walking towards us, and I really felt God say to me, stop that man, tell him about Jesus. Now, in one part of my mind, I'm thinking, fish and chip supper? My brother's here, he's hungry, he's going to be in my share. No, let him go, I'll obey God. I'm making light, but really, it is. I really felt compelled to speak to this man. So this guy walks towards us. I said, oh, good evening. I feel I need to just spend a moment telling you about Jesus. And he said, that was running through my mind. I don't know what it's all about, and I want to know. There and then on the street, be able to tell him about Jesus Christ. There and then on the street, the man makes a commitment for Christ. Right? And then be able to say to him, look, I'm not going to meet this man again. Just say to him, look, there's a pastor's house, that's the address, that's the church he looks after. Get yourself along there. So even strangers, be prepared. Be prepared for God to speak to you. Do it. It's not just Dave, it's not just Slava. Alright? It's the you and me. We're just ordinary. God wants to use us. Okay, often pray for people, their situations, often pray for healing. As we meet people we know and those we don't know, let's keep in touch with the Holy Spirit all the time. Listen to what he's saying about the individual and about their situation. And just sometimes you'll be able to pray in knowledge because God's given you a word. You don't have to say, oh, God has told me this. Just pray. That will resonate with them, I'll tell you. It will resonate with them, and it will cause them to think about God or ask a question. You don't have to say anything. You just pray, leave it at that, off you go, until something, there's another response. We're not trying to look big. We're not trying to think, well, God's spoken to me. No, it's nothing about that. Just allow God to use you and just pray. Let's be aware of the society we live in. Now, Joel challenged us last week on this. He challenges us in regarding of all this. He got us thinking about society we live in and how we could bring a spiritual perspective into normal conversation that we have with people day in and day out. We did that last week, didn't we? It was great, wasn't it? All sorts of stuff going on. Got us thinking about it Sunday, and we spoke about it during the week. So, let's just think about those things. Now then, the world is constantly changing, and very little remains the same as it was. Sometimes we call it progress. Sometimes we call it something different. I'm going to say we've moved on from the 60s and 70s and 80s, which were great years. Oh, one day, Dave. I remember them. Brilliant times. Yeah, we've moved on from that liberal thinking, free speech, self-expression. And we now have the I generation. I don't know if you have heard it, but a few weeks ago on Radio 4, Jonathan Sachs introduced a couple of days talking on morality in the 21st century. These are called the I generation, people born from 1995-ish onwards. And there's Dr. Jean Twenge, professor in sociology, who written a book on iGen. And the other commentator was David Brooks. I think he's a professor and lecturer in sociology. Certainly he's a columnist who writes for the New York Times. And they made some interesting comments and notes on this iGeneration. They would say, and it's not just youngsters, some of this has seeped into overall society, and you'll pick this up. They grow up more slowly, and childhood has moved into adolescence. The I generation generally do not spend as much time with their friends as people did 10 or 15 years ago. They've become more isolated. iGens don't need anyone. It's all about the big me. The less contact with others, the greater danger of moving towards extreme individualism. And as a result, I'd say it produces a crisis in social solidarity. And we now have an increasing number of people who are lonely. They feel alienated. They lack purpose in life. They're far less confident of themselves and the future. These are just generalities, but it's not just youngsters. This seeps out into all areas of society, and you'll see this happening. The constant presence and pressure of social media, and particularly comparison sites, can seriously harm and affect their self-esteem. I was chatting to one of the builders during the week. Just chatting to him and got talking about his family and got some children. The oldest one's 14. I said, well, it must be great. Is he just starting his options? Because I haven't got a clue what's that. Anyway, and he was saying how his son has just started a new school. I said, oh, have you moved house? No. The previous year had just been a nightmare for him. He thought he had friends, and this jolly iPhone, he felt abused, beaten up, isolated, rejected, neglected, made fun of, and it affected him so much, they thought it best he started a new school. Now we know, for youngsters, come on, to have friends, real friends, is vitally important. Pray for children, pray for our children, pray for children in your neighbourhood. Will you pray for them? All right? It's a different era they live in now to what we experienced. All right? And it's not their fault. But I think it's vital that youngsters have friends, that youngsters are recognised, they're appreciated, they're encouraged. Let's encourage all of this. Please pray for teenagers, particularly. They're so, so vulnerable. iGens believe the best way to go is no strings attached, no close relationships. Those who do start to become emotionally involved, it's known as catching feelings, as if it's a disease, as if it's something they should avoid. All right? They've been sold a lie. This iGen generation is the most physically safe and yet mentally vulnerable. Pray for them. Pray for them. We're living in a different world where more and more Satan has sought to wreck and ruin individuals' lives, to wreck their sense of self-worth, their joy, their relationships with others. We know Jesus is the answer for the lonely, the unloved, the unwanted, the alienated, those who feel inferior or feel they have no future. Jesus is the answer. This iGeneration of grown-up believing self-sufficiency is better than relationships. God said in the beginning of Genesis, it's not good that man should be on his own. That's what God said. We're meant to be in relationships. God intended that with others. These relationships to be good, to be healthy, to have fun. Yeah? God intended us to help and support each other. I need help. You need help. We do it together. We're meant to express love. We're meant to express appreciation. We're meant to accept others as they are. With dignity, with respect. That's what God intended. And that's what Satan opposes. I'm just going to finish off. We're meant to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We're meant to. Satan wants you to shut up and never open your mouth again about Jesus. Bad enough you've been a Christian. For goodness sake, don't get telling anyone else. That's what Satan wants. And when we do that, he's winning. We're not having that. Let's breathe a light to this world. Jesus is fully aware of the difficulties, the challenges, the obstacles which we have. And that's why he didn't leave us on our own. He gives us his Holy Spirit to help us. And the Holy Spirit will. The Holy Spirit will empower you. Okay. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. This is what Jesus says. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the world. As far as Jesus is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, we don't have no-go areas. Everyone, the awkward people, the horrible people, let's get out there. Romans, how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard of? So many people do not know about Jesus Christ. They did years ago, they don't now. You and I have the answer. Will you share the love of Jesus Christ with someone this week? That's my challenge. Will you? Will you be a lamp on a stand, shining out and expressing the love of Jesus Christ in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. I say, flick the switch on and let people see it. I used to be told by Ben Davis, find a need and meet it. Find a need and meet it. We've got a national prayer weekend coming up. Let's ask people, what can I pray for? Will you do it? Thank you, Dave.